Well, it's great to be back with you. Last Sunday, I was in Medicine Hat, Alberta, preaching at the Bridge Church, Dave Manishin's church. He's preached here before. Dave pastors a Lifelinks church there in Medicine Hat, and it was so great to be with them on the Sunday morning. We had a really powerful time in the Holy Spirit. We prayed for some people who were sick, and got a testimony this week of a man whose knees were healed during the service last Sunday. So I was really blessed to hear that. But 4 weeks ago, I began a series of messages with you that we have called The Power of Steady. You know, there was a time in my life when I was certainly attracted to people with tremendous gifts and talents, to large events and spectacles, big meetings, big personalities, big moments. Gifting, talent, and charisma can certainly draw attention and entertain. But the older I get, the more I realize that what I'm really drawn to are things like authenticity, integrity, and consistency. The word steady doesn't conjure up images of great excitement and energy. We don't think of the explosive power of a 100-meter sprinter when we hear this word steady. We think more of a marathon runner who is grinding it out one step at a time. One starts with a bang but fizzles out really quickly. The other has staying power that endures for the long haul. I'm not so impressed by flashy starts, but I'm deeply impacted by strong finishes. And the example of those whose lives have stood the test of time. Ultimately, I believe that those people who live consistent lives over the long haul are the ones who make the biggest impact and leave the greatest legacy behind. And this is where I want to put our focus this morning. So far in the series, we've been looking mainly at how living steady, consistent lives can benefit us personally. We've talked about how it increases our capacity and turns a spark into a flame. We talked about some of the things that can hinder us from living this way. We talked about how we need to be rooted and grounded in Christ, the unshakable one, if we are going to live unshakable lives. And I believe all the messages have been great. But today I want to end this series by drawing our attention to the fact that the way we live our lives has a big impact on the lives of others. I want us to catch a vision of living with a purpose that goes beyond ourselves and even beyond our lifetime. I want us to think about the legacy that we are leaving behind. Several years ago, my mom was doing some purging and some cleaning of one of her rooms and cleaning off a bookshelf. And she was throwing some books out and she nearly tossed out this old blue book called Reminiscences of the Ross Byrne Pioneers. It's a very old looking book, cheap staples. Pages are pretty yellow. But before she tossed it, she started flipping through the pages and her eyes fell on the name McIntosh. Well, that was my mom's maiden name before she married my dad. She was Linda McIntosh. And so she started reading the pages. And she realized that this book must have been her father's book. And when he had died and she had taken the things from his house, must have been in the collection of stuff. And somehow it had ended up on her shelf and none of us had ever read this book, knew what was in it. This book tells the stories of the very first pioneers who came to Ross Byrne, Manitoba. It was written in their own words. And one of these pioneers was a man named William McIntosh. He was my great, great grandfather. He begins telling his story and his chapter in the book with these words. In 1858, I was born. And when I was 12 years old, my mother died, leaving a family of seven. 2 years later, my father married again. I remained at home until I was 18, and not being contented, I set out for myself and for 4 years worked at whatever came to hand. When I was 22, that was 1880, I visited some of my people near Hamilton, and while there, heard the way of life explained to me. He's talking about the gospel. But I did not care much at that time about what I heard until I began to think of it on the train going home. I thought of the good way in which I had been taught by my dear mother, and the Holy Spirit touched my heart. And I said, if salvation can be found, I'm going to have it. Though I was greatly troubled at the time, I could get no real satisfaction. And for the next several pages, he writes about his journey, how he had traveled by train and by oxen from Ontario to Rossburn, where he settled. And he recounts some of the incredible stories of hardship, of homesteading, of marriage. Pretty interesting stuff if you like history. But then he ends his part of the book with these words. But before closing, I would like to refer again to the concern I had felt about my soul in the days before I left Ontario. From that trip home on the train, I started for the promised land. I gave great thought and prayer to seeking salvation, but I was not satisfied until in July 1882, after I had come west. I was returning from breaking on my homestead in the Birdtail Valley, and near the old Indian crossing on the riverbanks, my Lord met me there. 2 miles away from any living person, I found him whom my soul loveth. New life came in, and I was a new creature in Christ Jesus. Since then, through all the years, he has been my greatest comfort. Often when sorrow came to our home, we had only to turn to him, and there we found the only true friend this old world giveth. But what things were gains to me, those I counted losses for Christ Jesus. And this one thing I try to do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that ends his chapter in this old book. I also hold here in my hands a tiny, worn New Testament. The pages are barely hanging in there. This Bible was given to me by my great-grandfather named Howard in 1977. And he writes in the cover, "To Joel Wells, with God's blessing from your great-grandpa. I'm 83 years old. This testament was my father's testament, the man in this book. He was 96 years old when I died. I, Howard, am passing this on to Joel." He said it had been given to him on June 26, 1949, and he gave it to me on June 28, 1977. It's all written in the cover. Reading all this again this week and realizing that this little New Testament belonged to my great, great grandfather who had an encounter with Jesus in 1882, who was impacted by what his mother taught him, even though she died when he was only 12 years old. has left me deeply grateful for an inheritance of faith. I realize I can literally look back at almost 200 years of history and see that the seed sowed all the way back then continue to bear fruit today. This Bible is precious to me because of what it represents. It's a testament to me of God's call on my life from a little boy. It's like my great-grandfather was imparting something to me. My mom said he used to call her his little missionary when she was a little girl. He may not have known it, but there was a prophetic edge to great-grandpa Howard's life. Whatever was in my great, great, great grandmother is still living in me. And now living in my children as well. That is 7 generations. It reminds me of the words that Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 verse 5. I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that same faith continues strong in you. I was thinking this week, by God's grace, I'm going to pass this Bible on to one of my grandkids one day. No pressure, girls. But let's go. You see, I want to leave a legacy behind. Proverbs 13:22 says, a good person leaves an inheritance for their children's children. Proverbs 20 verse 7 says, the godly walk with integrity. Blessed are their children who follow them. The greatest things that we can leave behind will never be material. The greatest impact that our lives can have will never be in the abundance of our possessions. What we pass on in terms of example, of stability, of character, of foundation, of faith, are the things that hold the most value. The most meaningful moments of my life are the times when I'm told that the way I have lived my life has made an impact on the life of someone else. When something has started in you and been multiplied in the life of someone else, what a rich reward that is. The sober reality, however, is that our lives will always make an impact. The question is whether that impact is for good or for evil. Will we be channels of blessing or channels of cursing? Will we bring stability or instability to those around us? As I think about legacy, I can't get away from the thought that legacy is built on consistency far more than any moment of brilliance. And it leads me to my first point this morning regarding leaving a legacy and living a life that makes a lasting impact. Leaving a legacy requires playing the long game. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 4 verse 7, near the end of his life, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Paul saw his life like a marathon. And at the end, he was able to declare that he had finished it, still running strong. If ever there was a man who lived his life with consistency and left a legacy of impact behind, it was the Apostle Paul. The depth of his devotion and the power of his message were amplified in the example of his life and endurance. You see, there is something about consistency over a long period of time. It carries a different kind of weight. You know, the hardest part, but often the best part of being a pastor in a church that Dave Wells is a part of, or being on the leadership team of a network that Dave Wells once led, is that everyone still wants to talk to Dave. I have some great pastor friends in Lifelinks. You know who they usually call for advice? Not me. They call my dad. Many of you, when you have some deep questions or struggles and you're looking around for who to talk to, the first person you think of is, I want to go see Dave. I suppose if I wanted to be insecure about it, I could. But I'm actually not. I feel the same way. I'm just more blessed than any of you because I have more access than any of you. He actually makes the load I carry lighter. But here's the point. Why does everyone want Dave? Because at 78 years old, he now has 54 years of walking consistently with the Lord under his belt. He has been through every kind of storm imaginable and is still standing strong. He has lived his life with such a level of integrity and authenticity that people are lining up for a piece of him because every word he speaks feels so trustworthy. You see, people don't remember a single act nearly as much as the pattern of your life. One great moment is impressive, but a lifetime of steady faithfulness is unforgettable. Consistence over a lifetime leads to a multiplication of impact. It's like compounding interest. I've been giving my girls some financial planning advice recently, and with my limited math skills, trying to show them that if they invest just a little bit of money every month, by the time they are 65, that money will have grown beyond what they could believe. The hardest part at this point is for them to believe that what they sow now and every month will produce such amazing results. It feels so insignificant, but oh, it is not if you have vision beyond the moment. You see, I believe that endurance matters more than intensity. Intensity produces moments, but consistency produces momentum, and momentum can even outlast you. I have a sermon that I preach every year at our AMP training school where I compare the life of Joseph and the life of Samson in Scripture. Both men were called by God when they were young to be deliverers of their people. Both of them had talent and gifting. But the legacy that each man left was so dramatically different. Samson, man, he had moments of brilliance. He did some spectacular things, but his greatest victory was bittersweet. It came at the end of his life and cost him his own life. When as a man now blind, he pushed down the pillars of a temple upon his enemies, but killing himself in the process. He was blind because of the foolishness of his actions, from his failure to follow the Lord faithfully, and from the lack of consistency in his integrity. His eyes had been poked out, and he was chained like a slave when he was hauled into the temple to be made fun of. In the humility of the moment, he repented, and God restored his strength for one final victory. But he died in the process. And I think all would agree that the impact of his life was not what it should have been. Joseph, however, went through trial after trial and responded in each situation with integrity, with humility, with a heart to serve. He modeled grace and forgiveness and loyalty. And for many years, his actions were mostly hidden. But over time, his daily consistent actions multiplied until he rose to great power and saved his entire nation and left a legacy for his family that lived on well past his death. You see, legacy requires influence, and influence requires trust, and trust isn't built in bursts. It's built through showing up, keeping your word, living consistent with your values over time. Leaving a legacy requires playing a long game. My second point is this. Legacy can be lost in a moment. To me, one of the most sobering realizations about legacy is the fact that it takes years to build, but can be lost in a moment. Small lapses in judgment can have big consequences. And Scripture gives us several examples. Moses had years of faithful leadership and closeness with God. But a moment of anger and disobedience resulted in him not walking in the land of promise. King Saul had a moment of impatience that cost his entire family a dynasty. Esau traded his long-term blessing for a short-term appetite. One of the saddest parts of my ministry journey is watching close friends or observing men of God who had built a life of influence and impact lose it all because they failed to tend the garden of their own soul. They got negligent in the little areas. And those inconsistencies led to big collapses. A legacy of blessing turned into a legacy of pain and heartbreak. It's sobering stuff. In 1 Corinthians 10, Paul gives a warning to us. He begins the chapter by drawing the attention of the Corinthians to the Corinthian believers, to some of their ancestors who had experienced the power of God before them and yet had ended their lives in disaster. And Paul writes to them, these things happened to them as examples for us. They were written down to warn us who live at the end of the age. If you think you're standing strong, be careful that you don't fall. In other words, Paul is saying to them, if you're doing good, don't get too big for your britches. If they could fall, so could you. So stay humble. Stay connected to the vine. Keep holding on to the one who is unshakable. I've told you this story years before, but a number of years ago, my dad and I had a very unusual conversation. I don't totally remember the context of it. I think we were mourning someone we knew who had had a moral failure. And I remember being in his office on this particular day, and my dad asked me, just shocked me with this question, and he said, Joel, what do you think it would do to your mother if I ever had to tell her that I had a moral failure? Immediately when he asked me this question, this panic I think was on my face and this emotion of anger was rising, and my dad was adamantly assuring me, Joel, I didn't. There's been no failure. But he just wanted to hear from me what I thought it would do to my mother if he ever had to tell her such a thing. I told him I can't even imagine the depth of that pain. He said, what would it do to your sister? I remember saying, Dad, you are her hero. It would destroy her. He continued, what would it do to you? What would it do to Harvest City Church? What would it do to LifeLinks? It was a conversation that was so sobering that answering those questions literally had us both in tears. My dad's comment to me was, this was a good conversation. Joel, if it can happen to these people, it can happen to us too, if we ever get negligent in our lives. And he challenged me, this little exercise would be good for you to walk through in your own mind on a regular basis. Because the stakes are high, and the enemy of our souls always wants to dull us to the dangers that lurk within and that lurk around us. Legacies that are lost in a big moment can often be traced back to little moments of inconsistency. to little areas of compromise, to private lapses in integrity. Solomon wrote in the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15, catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, our vineyards that are in bloom. Note, it's the little foxes that ruin the vineyards. Ian Bird is the team leader of LifeLinks, the network of churches that we are a part of. The network that my dad helped establish and led for many years. And today I have the privilege of serving on the leadership team of that network with Ian. Ian is one of those guys whose influence continues to multiply, but not by flashy gifting, so much as by the consistency of his character. I was recently in Montreal with him and Ron Swan, one of the elders in our church. We had gone for a conference there together with the Dumains, and so we shared a rental car together. And Ian dropped Ron and I off on the Monday morning at the airport. He wasn't flying out until the Monday evening, and so he had the rest of the day in Montreal, so he kept the rental car and was going to drop it off later that night. We agreed that he would return the car and that he would send me the bill, our half of the bill for the car and the gas to reimburse him, which of course he did. But after he sends me the bill, he calls me. And the whole purpose of his call was to reassure me that the second that he had dropped us off at the airport, that he went straight to the gas station to fill up the car. And then at the end of the day, after his little driving around in Montreal, had filled it up again. And the bill that he had sent me did not include that little bit of driving that he had done after he dropped us off at the airport, which was $8. Half of it, $4. I started laughing. I was like, Ian, you filled up the car twice in the same within a few hours to make sure that you didn't overcharge me $4. I told him, I wouldn't have cared, come on. But you know what? I do care when I think about it. If Ian is concerned that much about his integrity for $4, he'll have integrity in the big things. That's the kind of consistency that builds legacy and maintains it. Finally, I want to end by making one last point. Bad legacies can be changed. Bad legacies can be changed. Maybe as you're hearing me preach today, I'm hoping the Holy Spirit's in your ear, but sometimes when we preach, the devil gets in our ears. Maybe he's in your ear. And he's taking some of the truths that I've shared that are meant to exhort you and inspire you, and he's twisting them into words of condemnation. Perhaps he's causing you to look back over some of the legacy of your family. A legacy that has been broken and damaged. And as you've heard me talk about my heritage and talk about my father, maybe it's caused a little pain because he would say, that's not my story. I want to remind you that my dad had never been in a church before he was married. He did not grow up in a godly family. But he had an encounter with Jesus while in university that changed his life and changed the course of our lives. Changed the whole trajectory of our family. You see, church, Jesus is all about changing legacies. Go read the Gospels. Why did that woman barge into the home of the Pharisee, where Jesus was reclined at the table? Why did she pour out an expensive bottle of perfume all over his feet because Jesus had found her. A woman with a notorious reputation all over town, likely a prostitute. But he had washed her clean. She had experienced his mercy and his grace, which had allowed her to close one chapter of her life and start a new one. It was the same with the woman who was dragged in front of Jesus, who had been caught in adultery. Sin broadcast to the world. Her legacy was shameful until she encountered the one who could remove it all. Simon was a disciple of Jesus, but Jesus changed his name to Peter, which means rock. Peter was initially anything but a rock. He was anything but consistent in his life. He was unstable and impulsive, but Jesus changed him and changed his legacy. The mercy of God restored him from his betrayal. And under the life-changing power of the Holy Spirit, Peter became a pillar in the early church. My friends, Jesus can do the same for you. Some of us have habits that are destroying us. We've grown up in environments that have stained us and wounded us. Without Christ, we will repeat the cycles. And a legacy of pain will go on. But my friends, Jesus can break the cycles. Jesus can remove chains. Jesus can heal wounds. Jesus can empower us with his Holy Spirit to make a change and start something new. My great, great grandfather encountered Jesus in the Birdtail Valley, and he said, I became a new creation. A new creation. Maybe you are going to start a new legacy for the generations to come after you. Maybe 200 years from now, somebody's going to be reading your story in a book and saying there have been seven generations that have been changed the moment I surrendered my life to Jesus. Generations have been changed because by God's grace, I got up the courage to face some stuff. Make some changes in my life. I don't believe it's ever too late to make a change. You can look at all the wasted time and mourn, or you can repent and say, you know what? I'm going to do like Apostle Paul. I'm going to forget what lies behind me. But I'm going to press on to what's ahead. And you can say, you know what? In the time that I have left, I'm going to make the most of it. I think back to my great, great, great grandmother. She only had 12 years to make an impact in my great, great grandfather's life. But she did. He remembered her words on the train on the way home, and the Holy Spirit touched his heart. Maybe I'm not here today if she hadn't sown the seeds she sowed in those 12 years. You know, one of the amazing things about God is when we humble ourselves, he gives us grace. And his grace is so extravagant that I find it can multiply stuff. He can do stuff in 10 years that should take 50 years. His grace can take what the enemy meant for evil and turn it for good. He can even take our mistakes and turn them into miracles. Small changes done in surrender and repentance every day can turn the ship of our life around. My friends, God wants to change some legacies this morning. He wants to start something new in your own life. He wants to break off some of those generational curses. If you're in Jesus, you're in under the blood of Christ, and His blood cancels every curse. He's a way maker. He's a miracle worker. He's a promise keeper. That's who He is. That's our God. Would you stand to your feet with me this morning? Maybe you're here today. Friend brought you to church. Maybe you found us online. I don't know what it is, but you've stumbled in the door. Maybe you've been coming for a few weeks or even a few months, and you realize today there's never been a moment in your life where you surrendered your life to Jesus. Maybe you're like my great-great-grandfather, discontented, searching for salvation. I want to tell you, salvation is in the room this morning. Jesus is here, and He's the way, the truth, and the life. You know, this is the gospel. All of us are broken. All of us are sinners. The wages of sin is death. The penalty for our sin is a separation from God for eternity. We're broken individuals, lost forever. But the glorious news of the gospel is that when we couldn't save ourselves, Jesus came to save us. He came to rescue us. He came to heal us. He came to give us new life. And the Bible tells us that when Jesus was hung on the cross, He was hung there covered in the shame of our sins. He was sinless. But that cross was a place of exchange. He took all of your sins and my sins and the sins of all humanity upon Himself and was judged and punished in our place. Experienced the wrath of God in our place. And in exchange offered us His own righteousness so that we could stand before God unashamed, covered in the righteousness of Jesus. If you've never received that salvation, if you've never received His mercy, then I'm going to give you that opportunity to receive it right here and right now. Would everyone just bow their heads with me in this holy moment? Close your eyes, please. I'm just going to ask you this question. Nobody's looking around. It's just between you, me, and Jesus. I'm going to pray a prayer in a moment. Do you need me to include you in that prayer? Do you need the salvation that only Jesus can bring? If that's you, would you just lift your hand up where I can see it? Thank you. I see hands up all over the room this morning. Thank you, Jesus. You can put your hands down. I'm just going to pray this simple prayer of salvation. As I pray it, in your own heart, say, Jesus, that's my heart. Those are my words. Something powerful is going to happen. The Holy Spirit will come and fill you. Jesus, I come to you broken, stained, lost. And I humble myself before you and acknowledge that I need a Savior. I need your mercy and I need your grace and I need to be washed and I need to be healed. So today I come and I confess my need for you. And I grab a hold of your salvation by faith. Jesus, would you come into my life? Would you wash me? Would you change me? Would you heal me? Would you fill me with your Holy Spirit? I receive your righteousness, your grace. Today I make the choice to follow you, Lord Jesus. With all the strength I have, I give my life to you. Transform it, change it, in Jesus' name. If you're here this morning, maybe the Holy Spirit is just bringing a conviction upon you. Maybe you just feel like, I want to get out of my seat and just respond at the altar this morning. I need to draw a line in the sand and just make a declaration before God to the enemy that I'm making a change. I'm leaving some things behind. Maybe there's just a desire in you that just says, God, I want to be that kind of person. I need your Holy Spirit. Help me. I believe the Holy Spirit is here this morning. And so I just want to give you that opportunity. Sometimes there's something powerful about getting out of our seats and just putting some feet to what the Holy Spirit is doing on the inside. If you need to do that, I'm just going to give you the moment to just come right now. Come on, if you need to come, come. Do you need to come? Some of you have just grown up and you have a legacy of just brokenness. And some of you just need to come and make a declaration to the enemy, not anymore. There is a change. There's a change that's going to happen. There's some cycles that need a break, and they're going to break now. If that's you, I just want to pray into some of that stuff today. Can we get some people just come lay hands on these people here? I'm going to pray from the front, but we're going to lay hands, and we're just going to believe in the power of God here this morning to break some chains. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you need to come, come. Thank you, Jesus. There's something powerful when we put feet to what the Holy Spirit is doing. I don't need a big altar call. I just know that there's something powerful when we respond. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, mighty God. Can we just stretch out our hands this morning to those that have responded? It takes courage. Let's just believe together. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that chains of sin and brokenness would be ripped off the people of God in Jesus' name. Lord, we just stand together with our brothers and sisters and declare freedom, wholeness. We declare the power of the Holy Spirit to transform, to heal. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just speak to the wounds of the heart. Generational wounding. Let there be healing in the name of Jesus. Let there be healing in Jesus' name. Lord, let addictions, legacies of addictions, of poverty, of abuse be broken in the name of Jesus. We just declare blessing, life, liberty, wholeness, health, prosperity in Jesus' name. Pray for those that are watching online this morning. Be free in the name of Jesus. Thank you, mighty God.